My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner's Dan Menigan. If you're confused, good. We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He covers the Cleveland Browns for the Akron Beacon Journal. He's our friend, Mr. Chris Easterling. Hello, Chris.
All right, Chris.
How's the guys doing? How are you guys doing today?
We're good.
77 and sunny outside, man. Life is good.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice not to be 90. Can't wait to see the 90-degree temperatures we're going to get down in West Virginia starting next week. But, yeah, you're absolutely right, because it's been a warm summer.
So Dan threw out this thought earlier, Chris, and I want your thoughts on it. What if the defense isn't quite as good as it was last year and everybody thinks it will be again this year? What does that do for the team? Because I do think we're all kind of counting on this defense to be at least as solid as it was last year. What if it isn't?
Then you better hope that offense finally comes together and becomes what they hope it can be. You know, you better get the version of Deshaun that, you know, they were banking on when they traded for him from the Texans. You better hope you get the best version of, you know, you get the Amari situation settled, and Amari is Amari, but you better hope you get the best versions of Judy and Elijah Moore and David Njoku. You better hope that you get Nick Chubb back from the injury and he's Nick Chubb, because I guess it's a little bit about how much it slips, because I think there could be some slippage, just because, I mean, you just look at the schedule and you see who they play. If it's a significant slippage, then you're going to need to have that offense perform at the level that the expectations should be for that offense. And that's it. That's that. I mean, that's the only way they survive, if the defense isn't what they expect the defense to be.
Chris, it's July 18th, so everything that's said here is before we've seen a snap of training camp or any preseason game or anything like that. So know well that anything that's said here can easily be erased at any given point when you actually have hard, fast evidence. Do you think the offense can do that from what you've seen through mini camps and paper?
Sure. I mean, you're right, Dan. It's July 18th, and it's just so difficult because we haven't seen the whole offense on the field. And Amari wasn't in minicamp. Deshaun has been limited as he's coming back from the injury. Judy wasn't on the field during minicamp because of, you know, he was nursing the injury. It's just so hard to kind of envision the whole, because we just haven't seen it, even in what is really kind of bogus settings, because it's kind of fool's gold, whatever you want to call it, when you watch it in the off season. So I think it can be, but I wouldn't. I mean, call me a doubting Thomas. They're going to have to go out and prove it, though. I guess is the best way I'd say it.
Chris Easterling is joining us, covers the Browns for the Beacon Journal. I want to go back to the defense for one second. I think it can be very good. I think it should be pretty good this year, Chris. I love the defensive line. I love the depth on the defensive line. The defensive backfield, hard to argue that it's not one of the premier backfields in the NFL. But I wonder about the linebackers, and I wonder if I even should. Does a defensive line and a defensive backfield cover up for the guys in the middle? And if you're looking at this, JOK, I think, is terrific. They bring in Jordan Hicks. They bring in Devin Bush. Are those guys sufficient, or might this be a huge opportunity for some of the young guys to establish themselves?
I think in Jim Schwartz's scheme, you'd like to have Devin Bush get back somewhat close to or somewhat resembling the player he was as a rookie. If you get that version of Devin Bush or something resembling it, you get the typical Jordan Hicks being what he's been the last 4 or 5 years when he's been healthy, and you get JOK taking another step up from his, you know, what he was last year, the breakthrough he had last year. I think that can be sufficient in this scheme, because they don't make any bones about it. It's of the three levels, it's probably the level that is the most interchangeable, the most disposable, maybe. That seems a little harsh, but I think, again, like I say, if you get a good JOK, I think you can be good, because I think they're going to play a lot more three corners, three safety looks. So you're really only going to need JOK and probably Jordan Hicks to really be, you know, good, to feel good about that. Position, barring obviously injuries.
Chris Easterling, Akron Beacon Journal, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The other big addition for the offseason that it feels like we're paying a lot of attention to is Mike Vrabel being a part of this team. What impact have you seen to this point of Mike Vrabel? And I don't know if it's a fair question before camp, but what do you expect of Mike Vrabel to be a part of from what you've seen in minicamp early on?
Well, I was fascinated kind of watching him. The times he was on the field, he was interacting and working with the offensive guys, which, you know, Vrabel's entire background is defense, except for when, you know, the Patriots made him a short yardage fullback. But it was fascinating kind of watching him work with the tight ends, especially. He was working with the tight ends the one day really intensely. I just think it's another mind in that building. It's another person to add who's been successful in this league, who knows what it takes to win games in this league, who can, you know, just give you another layer of you know, fact checking of whatever you want to call it, to make sure that the game plan's sound, to make sure to just help this team win. You know, it's about pouring as much resources into this team as possible to get it to the goal of getting to a Super Bowl. And I think Vrabel does that, you know, just by his presence in the building and being able to go into those rooms and, you know, contribute from his own experiences as a coach, to help that. So I think it will have an impact. I wonder, are we overrating the impact a little bit? Maybe, but then again, maybe not.
That's what I was just going to ask you, Chris, because most of the time when you hear a guy has been hired as a consultant, he might show up for a couple of days in training camp, and then, you know, during the season, maybe be on speed dial for the head coach if he wants to call and contribute something. If Vrabel's more than that, would you be surprised? I can't imagine the guy being around every day, because that's not a consultant, that's a coach.
I mean, we were sort of hit or miss seeing him on the field. But when he was on the field, he was on the field and he was helping out. So I would, I think it's going to be up to Mike, really. I think it's as much as Mike wants to put into it, and considering, being from Akron, not having anything else to do, but how much he loves the game and being able to be involved in a team that is a legitimate playoff contender. I think he'll be around a lot, but I think he'll also judiciously, choose, hey, this is where I need to take a step back, because I think, like you say, he understands the difference between coach and consultant. And, I think he's going to respect the guys who actually have the coaching titles in the building to not step on their feet too much.
What does Jerry Jeudy bring to the table for this Browns offense, Chris?
They hope a vertical threat. I think that's the thing is speed, a guy who they hope can take the top off of defenses, get behind the secondary, all that stuff, because they really, Amari's capable of big plays, obviously, in the passing game, so is Njoku, but they haven't really had that vertical threat. Who would you say who would you call the last true legitimate vertical threat? Not a guy that you hope was going to be a vertical threat, but truly was a consistent, legitimate vertical threat on the Browns.
It's a great question.
Is it bad that the first name that popped in my head was Josh Cribbs?
I was even thinking Gordon. Braylon, and I'm guessing I'm missing somebody.
I would say Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon, yeah, that's a darn good one.
I mean, do you have to go all the way back to Josh Gordon to find that?
Yeah, that's a good one.
He was here for such a limited time.
Andre Davis, maybe?
Oh boy!
Your point is really made,
Chris.
Yeah, we're going into cave etchings at this point.
But I think that's the biggest thing is they need Jerry Jeudy to be that, because they just haven't had it. It's an important part of the offense, an important part of the receiving core. Because you need different guys to be able to do different roles. I was listening to. I have a point to this tangent, but I was listening to Nick Saban talk to Tennessee coach Josh Heupel during the SC Network's coverage of the SEC Media Days this week, and he was talking about their receiving core, specifically the one when Sed Tillman was there. And he talked about the makeup of a receiving core much like the makeup of a basketball team. Like you have your power forward, you have your shooting, those type, each guy kind of has their own thing. And I think that's what the Browns, you look at the Browns receiving core, that's what they've always seemed to lack. They've lacked that, they don't have that piece to kind of complete that receiving core, the guy that can take the top off the defense. And I think they're hoping Jerry Jeudy is that.
Chris Easterling is joining us from the Beacon Journal, covers the Browns. Is there something that's going to jump out at you that you're immediately looking at when the team gets to Greenbrier, when you're there covering the team as the open training camp? One pressing issue in your mind?
I'm fascinated to see, one, obviously, the Amari thing kind of hangs over everything, but something tells me they'll get this resolved. I think they know how important Amari is to the team and its future. But more than anything, I think it's the injured guys. The guys who are coming off of injuries and just where they're at in their recovery. Because, again, a guy like – if you can realistically – and we all saw the video last week. If you can realistically think that you can get Nick Chubb in September, how much different does that change the outlook on this season? Can you get all three of those tackles ready to go by week one? How much does that change the way you can that offense? So I think that to me is the thing I'm most interested in looking at when I get down to the Greenbrier is where are these guys at in their recovery? And how quickly could we possibly see them on the field helping this team potentially get back to the playoffs and potentially make a run for the Super Bowl?
Chris, thanks for being with us, buddy. And hey, buckle up. It's getting ready to go for you.
Enjoy the bunker and bring the golf clubs.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Appreciate it. Chris Easterling, Beacon Journal. Take it easy, man. Covers the Browns, and when they get down to Greenbrier and beyond, you'll make sure you want to cover Chris's work. He does a really good job of covering the team. Problem? Concern? No big deal. Coming up at noon here on Baskin and Phelps. Jeff Phelps here. Dan Menigan's in for Andy Baskin today. I may be the only person in North America who feels sorry for a guy who got a 4-year guaranteed contract as the 55th pick in the NBA draft when guys don't get squat when they're usually picked in the 50s in the NBA draft. And I'm talking about Bronny James, of course, now a member of the Los Angeles Lakers with a 4-year guaranteed contract, which his agent, Rich Paul, Cleveland guy, love Rich, said, oh, we're not going to sign a two-way. We're getting a guaranteed contract. And he did. And everybody said the Lakers are going to take him. And they did. And LeBron opted out. And then after his kid was re-signed, he signed up again with the Lakers. That was the thought. And he did. And Bronny's on the floor right now playing for the Lakers Summer League team. And it clearly isn't going well. But it wasn't supposed to, I don't think. And stick with me on that one. You've got a young guy who had a huge medical issue, lucky to be alive, gets patched up, cleared, go ahead and play, went to USC for a year, didn't really play too terribly much, didn't play too terribly well, and then goes to the draft. And why did he go to the draft? If, you know, I'm not his father. I'm not the father of a basketball player. It screams that he should have stayed in college for another year, Dan. Except for one thing. He got a 4-year guaranteed contract for $8 million, roughly.
Yeah.
And so, I mean,
it'll change a lot of people's mind.
That worked. But, like, everybody who you're talking to now, either is bashing the kid or putting, I think, unreal expectations on him. Even his coach, J.J. Redick, the other day was on a podcast. Not his own with LeBron, by the way. Which,
no, that one's on hiatus.
Isn't that convenient?
Yeah.
Why did J.J. say this? I can see Bronny becoming Lou Dort. Now, if you don't know who Lou Dort is, he plays for the Oklahoma City Thunder. He's kind of a big guy. He's like 6'5", and he's really put together. And he said Lou Dort changes possessions. And he is an impactful player, and I can see Bronny becoming that. He's going to become that for us. And I thought, oh, my God, why did you say a word? Why did you say a word? Keep your mouth shut and let the kid find himself, because he hasn't been good in the summer league so far.
There is no reason to put any kind of expectation on top of this kid's head, because his name alone comes with enough expectation. It's the same way that I felt when Michael Jordan's kid started trying to forge his way into basketball.
And didn't Scottie do Pippen's it past kid. College.
Yeah, Scottie Pippen's kid. The same thing.
It's a heartless. Pro sports are heartless.
Well, and
Michael Jordan's kid didn't have the ability to play, either one of them, at the pro level. So they didn't get the chance. But that's kind of the point here, is a lot of folks don't think LeBron James' son is NBA material. In fact, this was terrible. Jaylen Brown of the Celtics, who's not on the Olympic team, so, you know, he's been in the spotlight because of that, went to a summer league game, Celtics-Lakers, and there was a camera on him. He was sitting next to his girlfriend, who plays in the WNBA, or did, and Angel Reese, who plays for Chicago. And he turned to the ladies and said, he wasn't mic'd up, but people read his lips and are, you know, saying what he said, and he said, I don't think Bronny's a pro. Well, now he caught grief like that, and he felt he had to go on social media and you know, say something about it. Other people, folks who do what we do for a living, are bashing him like crazy.
before we get too far down that road, how obnoxious is it that we are bringing on people to lip read athletes in the crowd?
I was stunned.
Can we just say that out loud as a thing that took place that upset us, that a private conversation involved people who were professional lip readers to figure out what the hell they were saying? Can we just not do this?
I clicked on the story, naturally, because it says Jaylen Brown says Bronny's not a pro. And I thought, wait a minute, there's no way he's going to stand in front of a microphone and say that Bronny's not a pro. That's just not the thing to do. And guess what? He didn't.
Yeah.
He was sitting courtside, and he just leaned over and said it kind of sheepishly, actually, to the ladies. And now, you know, he got put in a bad spot.
Right. He got put in a bad spot, and it's requiring professional lip readers to figure out what is being said here. People who are typically used for meetings between world nuclear power leaders are being brought in to go, hey, did that guy over there say something about Bronny? Read those lips for me, if you don't mind. Here's a pile of money. Like, what the hell are we doing? Do we really not have anything better to do?
Now, the difference
okay,
here...
sorry. I got that off my chest.
Okay. You feel better?
No. I'm still puzzled.
The difference with LeBron's son and other guys is that he, A, is LeBron's son, and B, because of that, because of that, got a 4-year guaranteed contract for $8 million, just under.
Sure.
That said, okay, Jaylen Brown doesn't think he's a pro, even though Jaylen didn't say that publicly. You know, he had to bail himself out. People in our profession are bashing the kid like crazy. He doesn't belong. Other pro basketball players are saying, are you kidding? This isn't good, blah, 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 blah. But guess what? Most everybody taken in the second round of the NBA draft and many in the first are not pro basketball players at the NBA level. That's what everybody's forgetting here. And the only thing I'll say about it, the kid has not been good. You have to give him a little time to develop like every other kid in the second round of this draft. I'm big on Enrique Freeman. The University of Akron Zip, who was taken in the second round by Indiana. He's averaging, last I saw, under 10 points a game in the summer league. Does that mean Enrique can't play?
No,
it doesn't mean that. Bronny had been awful. Let's be frank. He missed his first 16 three-point shots. So he's out there. They're playing him. He's jacking him up. He missed his first 16 shots. Until last night, he actually came through and had a decent game for the Lakers. They took on the Atlanta Hawks, and they play the Cavs tonight. He had 12 points. He was 5 of 11 shooting. He made 2 of 5 threes. And this is stupid to even be talking about summer league stats, but this story, it's everywhere. You go on any website, it's the story. Here's an issue. He's a 6'1", 6'2 guard. He had no assists last night. And so... if he's not a point guard and he's 6'1 or 6'2, what's he doing? But again, we know why he's in the league. I feel bad for him, and I would like everybody just to back up and think about it 3 years down the road. It's going to cost the Lakers $8 million. You know what that was? That was buying LeBron's happiness and making sure LeBron came back. Okay? That's terrible to say. I feel bad that LeBron and Rich Paul and the Lakers put him in this position. It would have been great to me. And Matt Ishbia of the Phoenix Suns said, we had an interest in him.
Yeah.
We might have taken him at 56 there if the Lakers hadn't, because we think he can develop. So far in the summer league, he's averaging 5.8 points per game. Okay, that's not good. 3.2 rebounds as a small guard, 1.2 assists in 25 minutes a game. That's not good. And it gets worse. He's shooting under 29%, and he's shooting 10% on three-point shots. Okay, so if you're a small guard, and you can't shoot, and you can't pass, you're doomed. Unless you're LeBron James' son.
I mean,
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
First, look, if you don't think nepotism exists in all forms of life, then I have a map to the city of El Dorado that I would like you to see.
And
I would like to sell it to you.
I do believe it exists. Of course, we all know that exists.
Yeah.
My point, though, is the kid has been put in a no-win situation.
Correct.
Because if he makes the team and actually contributes, then he can go to everybody. However, that's not going to happen for some time, and he got handed something because of who he is and because of the Lakers' want to make his father happy that he clearly didn't deserve. And I it pains me to even say that, but no kid taken late in the second round deserves that. That's not the way the NBA works. And I just think, you know, if I'm him, I'm not turning down $8 million.
No.
And I'm going to follow my dad's advice, and I'm going to follow Rich Paul's advice, and I get to play with my dad on the Lakers. Wow, that's all cool.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
But, man, it puts him in a really bad spot, and I feel for him.
And it gives
I really do. He comes off as a great young guy.
Absolutely.
He did his post-game interview yesterday. He didn't say a whole lot. You know, it was a typical post-game walk-off interview. But why are you doing the walk-off interview with him? He's one of the worst players on the team so far. And it's just, it's almost a disservice to his basketball development that he is where he is right now. I would have loved to have seen him go back to USC or go somewhere else and play another year in college, mature a little bit, then come out.
He has handled this great.
He has.
He has handled this great. Everyone around him has handled this poorly. And that's what I continue to point to.
I think so, too, because
because
they've put him in a place where he shouldn't be right now.
Correct. And they've put him on a and I will hold my hand up right now and say the media is 1-1 on this one.
We're talking about him. You know that
we have put him on a pedestal that he does not belong on. Like we have said, this is a storyline that is existing in Summer League, and we are going to pay attention to this and lock into this because of the kid's last name and not for any other reason. And I think another part of it is the fact that Summer League is taking place in a time in the sports calendar that is dead.
Yeah.
And if we had any other thing going on right now besides the baseball all-star break and the baseball season and the NWSL, if we had any of the other major sports that were taking place, I wonder how much this would get pushed to the sideline. And I wonder if the minute that the NBA ball gets tipped in September, if this gets pushed to the sideline once again. I partially wonder if that's the direction where this is going. It's just right now you've got editors and you've got producers and you've got all this group going, Jiminy Christmas, what the hell are we going to talk? We can't do Aaron Rodgers again, can we? God, I think we've definitely bled that stone. Does anybody have anything? LeBron's kid. Like, it just kind of is the low-hanging fruit that continues to sit there that every single network and every single media outlet will just grasp their hands to.
Jack Bear at Yahoo covers the NBA, and he wrote a story on Bronny, and he was extremely realistic, and he ended it with this. It says, fun fact. Before Wednesday, the official NBA Twitter account had tweeted the video of all but one of Bronny James' 7 makes in 4 games.
And that's the problem.
Exactly. To its $46.5 million followers, it says it provided only 2 on Wednesday. But don't worry, ESPN posted the next 2. So you can't go on ESPN without seeing his name in a headline, and he's a second round pick, taken 55th, who's not very good yet. The yet is still to be determined. I don't know if he ever will be. What do you think of this, folks? I feel sorry for Bronny James. 216-474-0092, except for the money. It's Baskin and Phelps here on the Fan. You're a 6'1" guard. You come out after a very nondescript first year of college, after dealing with some real serious medical issues, you get drafted by a team late in the second round, and you go to Summer League, and you average 5.8 points, 3.2 rebounds, 1.2 assists as a 6'1 guard in 25 minutes. And as a small guard, you shoot under 29% and 10% on threes. What should your agent be doing? Either A, looking for another client because you have fired him because he advised you to come out and turn pro, or B, calling Istanbul to see if he can work a tryout for the Turkish team, but not in the case of Bronny James because it worked for him to get a 4-year contract guaranteed at like $7.9 million. Jeff Phelps here, Dan Menigan there.
Let's be slightly fair on it too. There's nothing wrong with spending a year in the G League. There's nothing wrong with spending 2 years in the G League to help you develop
or three.
And get those skills together.
Or three.
We have seen that taking place with a lot of guys who are playing in the league right now, who went to the G League and they worked on some stuff and they developed and found their way up to the NBA. So let's be real fair on top of it as well.
Absolutely.
As much as it's very fun to say the word Istanbul,
I've always enjoyed it myself.
There's nothing wrong with going to the G League. And we all know that the minute they drafted Bronny,
I hope they do send him to the G League so that he can develop.
Too.
I mean, that's where he needs to be.
I want them to because I think that's what's best for him in his long-term basketball future. If you're going to turn pro and turn pro at that young of an age with a half a season in college-ish, full season-ish in college, you should need more time to develop. That's just how this works.
And I can't feel sorry for a guy who gets a 4-year guaranteed contract for just under $8 million, except for the fact that he didn't need the money. You know, seriously, he didn't need the money. I would assume that LeBron, you know, gives him a pretty nice allowance. And he doesn't have to worry about cash. So that's that. In the big scheme of things, development of the player seems like another year in college would have been the way to go. And I feel for him because I don't know if he got railroaded into turning pro. I don't know if he didn't have a choice. I don't know if it was his choice. If the playing with my dad and it got orchestrated, he ends up with the Laker. I feel bad for him despite the contract because he already had the money. And I wonder how detrimental this might be for his possible development as a basketball player, or if he goes to the G League and it works or whatever, is he still even capable of doing it? All I know is that he's getting so much bad press that I don't think he deserves.
Not at all.
Bill's in Parma. Bill.
What's up, Bill?
Bill, you with us?
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Bill. There you go.
All right. Yeah, good. I kind of feel sorry for this guy, but if LeBron wanted to spread his money to his three kids tomorrow, each of them would probably get about $300 million. So that 7.9 is a pocket change.
Which is one of the things that I think is interesting because it's not like he actually needed the money, you know?
Yeah, but it's nice to have money that you've earned versus money you've been given.
But
you know?
He was just given money, Dan.
He played high school basketball. The Lakers just put the work together to get drafted.
The Lakers just gave him $7.9 million, Bill, right?
Well, here's the deal, and I'm gonna go the other just a little bit further into this. That's what bothers me a little bit about this, and I apologize, but I am going to do it. There's another kid out there, I'm sure, somewhere who in the college averaged about 20 points a game, who didn't have the resources that LeBron did to put his kid into a private school with all the advertising that Bronny got. And this kid worked his tail off, and his parents, his mom, who probably has two jobs, and he didn't get drafted for whatever reason. And he'll be lucky if he gets into the G League. And this is the stuff that just irritates me, because this is like Ben Roethlisberger. They always say, how did he end up at Miami of Ohio? Well, he's 6'5", and he was in high school, and he had a rocket arm. How did they miss him? How did Ohio State miss him? Well, he played wide receiver until he was a senior in high school.
And why, Bill?
Why did he play wide receiver? Because the coach's son was a quarterback.
Correct.
And so this is that same thing that happens. And the bottom line always comes down to what is his talent? And to date, he doesn't have it. And then what happens is, and this is kind of a LeBron issue, and I'll state this, nobody has to agree with me because, there's all these people out there that are LeBron, whatever. LeBron does this to teams. He puts them behind the eight ball. And now who's going to tell this kid needs to go to Istanbul? And then if LeBron gets a little ticked one day, for whatever reason, the Mercedes didn't run just right, or, the catered food didn't taste just good, and he says, I want him up here, and I want that guy down. How's that going to do in the clubhouse? It ain't going to fly. And that's the problem that you have with LeBron and this and any other situation like this. It's poison. It is poison. And I'm surprised LeBron doesn't know it.
I wonder, Bill, if your scenario actually plays out where LeBron interferes or gets involved with where he's playing and what should be going on in the roster, as if he hasn't already with this, with the draft pick, because that could be terrible. And again, it goes back to me, it could be terrible for his son.
Exactly. And I think, Jeff, and I respect what you're saying, and you and Dan, everybody, I don't care if it's Bronny, and my sense he's a great kid, without a doubt. Everybody wants to earn it at some level on their own. They do. Yep. You do. And God bless this kid. I mean, he's really, without a doubt, he's a great kid. But that's what I'd like to see for him. Hey, you guys have a great program. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it very much.
Look, this is the funny part when you actually bring the LeBron side of this into it.
That was the Baskin sigh.
It was to get my thoughts together so I didn't totally shove my foot in my mouth. When you bring the LeBron part of it in, I think what Bill is saying is onto something. Until you hit the point where you're saying LeBron may demand something like that, LeBron's got one goal: titles, legacy.
I'm going to argue with you on that one.
He has been driven his entire career by titles and legacy. There is a reason why that guy got a camera crew to start following him around the minute The Last Dance was published. Titles and legacy.
Okay, except for one thing. He also now has children. And that doesn't change titles and legacy, but it adds another layer to it.
Well, you got one of them already.
If he can get his kid coming along for the ride, why wouldn't you? And that appears to be what he's trying to do.
You got one already taken care of. He's got $8 million bucks in his pocket that should last you a good chunk of your life, not to mention what you could do afterward. I mean, yes, four after taxes, but you get the general concept.
Brent's in Bay Village. Hi, Brent.
How are you, Brent?
Hey, fellas. Love the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Listen, no one is immune to the obnoxious sports parent syndrome. We've all seen it. We've all heard it. We've all lived it. Okay? Not everybody is Barry Bonds. But what we're seeing is, and if you think about it in this last year, LeBron made statements a couple years ago about the opportunity to play with his son. So that was coming. But this year, if you look at it, look at just something as innocent, and I thought it was cute, Tiger Woods and his son on the golf course. How many clips did you see of that? That was cute. I get it. But the expectations are there. Deion Sanders this year. Remember early on in the season? Oh, this was a Heisman play by my son. This was a Heisman play by my son. You know, when you go back to all the way back to when Bobby Hull's son, Brett, hated hockey, absolutely hated hockey until his dad was out of it, you know, and struggled with all of the expectation. The Howes were like that. It seems like the brothers do better when they're in the leagues. The Golics, for example, the Ripkins and those guys. But this comes from the parents. The bottom line, you can say whatever you want. The parents are the ones that have the dad is the one in particular in this case that had the say.
And Brent, if you're his son, and could you stand up to dad? Did you want this? Did you want all this to happen, or would you have rather stayed in school for a year? It just seems
it's been drilled into you.
Yeah.
He's been conditioned this way. Dad knows best. That's what, and think about it.
As many sons are, you know.
Think about the kid on the Little League field that's getting yelled at constantly by his parents. It's the same thing, you know what I mean? That's where it's coming from, in my opinion. Yeah, there's some cash changing hands, but like you said also, that money doesn't mean anything to this kid.
So probably not.
That's just my feeling. I appreciate the time, fellas.
All right, Brent, thank you very much for the phone call. Greg's in Cleveland. Greg.
All right, Greg.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Doing well, man.
Last year's second round pick, I want to say 56 or 58, he was given a 7.7 four-year guaronteed contract. So Bronny's not the only one. It's a rare occurrence, but it does happen. And yes, the Lakers did draft Bronny to appease him or whatever, but also is to bring in money. They're selling jerseys, they're selling T-shirts. He's literally got bigger crowds at summer league games than the first and second pick. Even though his shooting percentage is kind of horrible, he's shooting better than the second overall draft pick right now. So, I mean, people just need to give him time to get settled in. He had a decent game last night. I think he got more into a rhythm because he actually put up more shots in his game. But I think just people just need to give him time.
Without question, Greg, but the problem here is this. I say poor kid. The poor kid's been put in a spot where everything he's doing, they're looking and folks are saying nasty things about him and his game. I agree with you. Give him time. But I think that time might have been better served in college and certainly not in the spotlight because, man, right now he's a young player who needs to develop his basketball game and he's being judged on a basketball game that's not ready to be judged yet.
Right.
That's tough.
And any positive thing you do in summer league is being broadcast. And it's like, okay, we're really pushing this.
I mean, but he was pretty much built for this. He was bred for this.
Yeah, except for the one thing. He might not be good enough for it.
And this isn't West Germany.
East.
Sorry, East Germany. I got my Germanys confused. I apologize to the Western German Olympic team.
What's your heritage?
German.
Okay.
I don't know. Jeff, never ask me for directions. Directions and math. Those are the two things that I can't help you on.
The Guardians return to baseball tomorrow. Yay. I'm excited. We're going to take a look back at the first half and kind of maybe move it forward a little bit. Concern? Problem? No big deal about things that happened with the Guardians in the first half of the season. Next on Baskin and Phelps.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.